Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Thanks for taking some time out of your weekend to listen to this weekend show, which is again going to be focused a lot on the resource sector. In the first half of the show, we are going to talk about more of the precious metals, even copper. And in the second half of the show, it's a shift back over to energy to try to make sense of where some of the opportunities are in the oil and natural gas sectors. We're kicking off the show with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Doc, it's been a little while since I last had you on the show, but I think this is a good time to give everybody a bit of an update as to where you see the gold, silver, copper charts, as well as some of the underlying stocks. Let's start with gold, because gold has continued to remain quite strong. It's, I guess, mostly moved sideways for the last couple months, ever since mid-April. Recently, it did go and touch a new all-time high just about a week and a half ago, but that was quickly reversed, and now it's broadly back in this range from about 2,300 to just under 2,500. Doc, I have to ask you, I know you look at the longer-term charts. How are you seeing this setup for gold?
We're at, Corey, another inflection point, I believe. It's a very important one for gold. The next 2 months, August and September, are going to tell us a big story, because the chart I'm really looking at on the monthly, the variant or the variable I'm looking at, particularly, is the MACD. Back in 2020, we had a peak on the MACD in the gold market, and then we traded sideways for months and years. And we are approaching, on the MACD, we're approaching that peak in August and September. In fact, in August, we're going to be very close to the top of that peak. So the next 2 months, I feel August and September are going to tell us volumes on whether we're double peaking here and that we start moving down on the MACD, and that would mean a move down in the price of gold, or whether we take that peak out and continue higher and then stay overbought for a period of time. I think that are your two most likely options.
Which one do you favor more, the breakdown or the breakout?
I favor the breakout this time. Back in 2020, I warned folks right at the peak that things were looking a little precarious and that we might be peaking out. But this time, I favor the fact that this gold bull is not over and it has a lot further to go. And I particularly like the weekly chart on gold right now, based on the fact that if you look at the MACD on the weekly chart, the MACD has moved sideways while the gold price continues to move sideways and even up a little bit. That's a very strong indicator to me when you see that type of thing where you're not seeing a breakdown in the MACD. So I believe that we're still in this bull market and that we're going to continue higher. The other thing is the fact that we've had such a great move in gold, and a lot of these gold stocks have done nothing except for some of the larger cap stocks. A lot of the mid-tiers and the juniors particularly have done nothing, and they've come off again. And the fact that we've had such a phenomenal move in gold, and a lot of these gold stocks have not moved correspondingly, tells me that's very abnormal in that the stocks have to catch up. And that tells me from a fundamental standpoint that we have further to go in the gold bull here.
Yeah, I feel like we've been saying that for years, though, Doc, is that the stocks have lagged. And while many of them have bounced here, very few are at all-time highs, much like gold was just at. Give us specific levels then. If the next 2 months matter so much for this next decision, whether it's higher or lower, what are the actual levels we are looking at?
You mean for gold or for gold?
On the low side and on the high side. I assume the high side is all-time highs.
I think by the end of the year, If we continue to move higher, we could see 2,700 to 2,800 gold.
What about on the low side then? What are we watching?
I don't think that we'd get below 2,200. The other thing is another thing that makes me think that we have maybe a little more sideways movement here. And that we could see that happen where if we peaked in some of these stocks for a while and we peaked in gold a little bit, the 12-month moving average could start to move toward the 26-month moving average on the MACD. In that case, we might see a sideways movement for gold and for these stocks for a period of time yet, for a good period of time before we break higher again. And that could mean that we could get down to 2,200. The other thing that I think that we could move a little bit lower on gold in the near future is the fact that I think the odds are very good that silver could move down yet, and that tells me that gold might not go anywhere for a time, because I think we could possibly get down to $27 on silver before the next move up. That's a good possibility. So if that happens, I think that gold's the 12 months moves toward the 26 month line, because there's a gap between them right now, and that could hold. We could see gold move down a little bit along with some of these stocks moving sideways before we get the next move higher.
Well, Doc, just following up on that idea, we've seen gold have a lot different chart than silver, and for that matter, a lot different chart than a lot of the base metals, because gold is a monetary metal. Silver, really not so much anymore. It's more industrial metal than monetary. Now, it generally will track gold as a precious metal, that component of it, but we've seen gold bifurcate from really everything. And gold, a lot of people point to having been in a 13-year consolidation from 2011 all the way through just really this last year, that there's that big cup and handle pattern and that it's breaking out of this huge consolidation. Couldn't that mean that gold could just keep trekking higher even if silver got stuck in the muck?
Absolutely. That's a very good possibility, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if that happens, because I do believe we're starting to move into a recessionary period. And if that's the case, then the questionable industrial use of silver comes into play. And so silver may lag a little bit yet. And with a very good possibility, silver could move down here a little bit. But I also love the monthly chart on silver, even if it does that, because we're right now, there's not any suggestion of a big move down in silver here yet. On the monthly chart. And so that's a positive thing. So because of this, I'm buying every week on these stocks, a lot of them that have not done much, because some of them have moved up. And I talked about that months and years ago, that when we did get a recovery here in these stocks and in gold, that you probably wouldn't see a V-shaped recovery like in the past, but it'd be a step process. And we're seeing that right now with some of these gold stocks and silver stocks. They've moved up and now they're moving sideways in a stair-step fashion. And I think they could do that again before we get the real big move in the future, which I think could possibly be 2026.
Okay. That is still encouraging. Look, silver, even at this price, still strong historically when you consider just how stuck it was below $30 and then even in the teens. Let's look at stuff like GDX then, gold miner ETF. It is still trading low volume, but it's off of its lows from late 2022. It's put in higher lows just this year. But again, it's nowhere near all-time highs. Still needs to get to that 2020 high, one that, as you said, you're looking at some of those technicals as they related to gold. GDX doesn't have the same momentum that gold does, doesn't have the same technical setup as it did back in 2020. What are you seeing in the GDX chart?
Well, I love what I'm seeing on one of the strength indicators, and that's the ADX. The black neutral line has bottomed and it's turned up. That to me is very encouraging. And the fact that the green bullish line has turned up, and I think it's going to continue to turn up for a couple of months here. So, and on the MACD, you have the 12-month moving up over the 26-month in a upward trend. So, and the RSI looks good, like it wants to head toward the overbought line. So that's another indicator that I think we're okay with these precious metal charts right now. And I think GDX looks like it wants to move higher here, which is a positive.
Well, Doc, when you look at charts, I'd be interested to get your technical analysis thoughts on price action as it makes new highs. So we've seen a new 52-week high in GDX. It's got up to 39.41 just recently, which was way above its 2023 peak, which is only in 36, but it's still got a little bit of room to run to go towards that 2022 peak at 41.60. So do you think that if gold still has that potential to break out, I know it's at an inflection point, but if the inflection point breaks higher, do you see it positive that GDX has already made a new 52-week high? It's already higher than last year's peak, and could it make a run at 2022's peak?
I do believe it could. In fact, I think it can run toward the 2020 peak, frankly, right now, with what I'm seeing. And what's interesting, too, speaking about price action, the volume, though, is nothing to write home about. And that's a little bothersome, but that's also good because we know we could be far from a top. And so I actually like the fact that the volume is low because that tells me a lot of people have not yet joined these rallies and that we might have a long ways to go. And if you look at the monthly chart of silver, you've got that cup and handle too. And so it's still in play. And so I think there are so many positive factors here right now for these precious metals.
So, Doug, since you mentioned volume, it is one thing that we've really seen a discrepancy on when it comes to different charts, different individual stocks. Some stocks trading practically no volume, but there are other stocks that we have seen increase in volume. We've had a number of different guests and different technicians, some of which don't care at all about volume. How much weight are you putting into kind of analyzing volume in some of the stocks that you're either looking to buy or already in?
I'll give you one example. When we talked off mic on this, one company that I hold that I bought right at the bottom and I'm adding as it moves up. But what I looked at back in the early part of the year when we had some big volume in some of these stocks, I looked at the companies that had the big volume and thought to myself that, look, there are some people that are pretty impressed with these companies and are buying at these levels. And with this kind of volume, they're probably not going to get shaked out of their price positions with these stocks. And I'll give you, for instance, one of them that I'm really am adding to as it moves up, because I like to chart too, is Integra Resources. And they had huge volume in March, April, and May, close to 5 million shares being traded. And it made the previous months look like nothing. And it's come off since that time as far as the volume, but it's still hanging up at the midpoint. But the stock also, on the monthly chart, the Bollinger Bands are starting to narrow like crazy. And the stock is grudgingly moving higher like it wants to break out. And the RSI has moved for the first time in months out of an oversold position, and it's trending higher. So that's just a for instance of what I've looked at in some of these stocks to take a position in. And I think those volume indicators back then were a good harbinger of what these stocks might do going forward.
Well, Doc, let's just stick with this, for instance, of Integra Resources. We've had them on the show before. They've got millions of, I think they've got 6 to 7 million ounces of gold in the ground now on all their projects combined. They've got a development project in Idaho that's moving forward with the kind of the slow permitting process and that orphan stage. But they've got a couple other projects that have exciting drilling on it. If you look at the chart, though, Integra was above $10 just in 2020, and now it's down by $1. So it's crashed by 90% over the last couple of years during the kind of this tough sentiment period. Do you think it ever has a chance of getting back up to $10 again or anywhere close to that? Or when you look at the chart, is it something where you see the potential of at least a multifold return on this stock?
I think, yeah, this stock could be a 5 to 10 bagger, actually, if we have gold move to levels that I think is possible based on the amount of dollars in existence that are spread all over this world. And we're going to even see more of them. And we're going to see over time depreciation of those dollars, especially with BRICS coming on board. And one thing these politicians can't seem to stop, and it's spending money. And they put us in a position now where they almost have to prevent a collapse of this economy. So with that being said, all I can see is positive things for precious metals going forward with the way the international community is right now economically. And so with a company like this, where the net present value is probably 10 times less than it should be, I would say the odds are pretty good over the next 4 or 5 years that Integra could do very well. If as they open up mines and if they do a efficient job of producing the gold.
So, Doc, when you're looking at charts like this, and look, there are a number of these charts where stocks are well off levels from 4 years ago, how much do you also go back and look at the overall market cap of the stock to filter in dilution of the shares? Just because $10 5 years ago doesn't necessarily mean, well, most likely these companies have gone through a lot of dilution. So how much does market cap also filter into your calculations?
Corey, a lot. I don't want to get sucked into these guys that keep pushing their companies and they keep diluting shares. I try to stay away from those. I feel you're going to be very fortunate to ever recoup significantly your dollars of investment in those kind of companies. And there are a number of them out there, and they have good prospects, but the number of shares on some of them are just astronomical. And some of them are essentially penny stocks with good gold in the ground. But I don't like to position myself. I've learned over time not to position myself in those kind of companies because the odds of success are against you, I believe.
Well, Doc, even taking this little step further, if we just keep looking at Integra as an example, they only have 88 million shares out. So it's not like they've got a blown out share structure, but they've also acquired Millennium Precious Metals. They acquired a whole other company. So their market cap being at 130 million for having 6.5 million ounces of gold, 3 or 4 main projects, 1 flagship moving towards production, is 130 million market cap or an 88 million share structure a non-starter for people looking at a company that really hasn't blown out its share count?
Yeah, and that's another thing I didn't mention, Shad, and you hit the nail on the head on that. I love their share structure. I mean, with the position they're right in right now, I just love the position they're in technically and fundamentally. And if they're really careful, this company could really do well. And there's everything. I love the price action on it right now. It just is plotting higher right now. And if it breaks out over the upper Bollinger Band, then the thing is going to run for a while.
Doc, let's also look over to copper then. I did want to get your thoughts on copper, which, look, made a nice run back in May, and then ever since May has really turned around and is now trending back closer and closer to that $4 level after being well over $5 in May. What's your outlook for the copper price?
Well, and I've been negative on copper for some time, and I said that a while back. I could see that it was topping, and we have further to move down. And I think we're going to probably see fairly soon a $4 price on it. And then it's questionable on whether we break lower at that point. I think we're getting close to a bottom on the price where we might get a bounce here. And when I look at the monthly chart, I think we could move back down toward anywhere from $3.50 to $4. And then copper has to hold, or else it's in trouble. And if it doesn't hold there, we're going to move down into the twos. But I don't anticipate. I think right now, looking at the long-term charts, copper should hold its value if it gets down to anywhere from $3.50 to $3.75 in pricing. So I think we're okay in copper. It's trading in a trading range right here, and we're headed maybe down a little bit lower. But I think it'll hold, and it's only a matter of time before copper moves up then.
Well, now, when you look at the copper stocks, if you look at an ETF like COPX, which is basically the GDX of the copper stocks, it's the major producers, they hit an all-time high, COPX, just a couple months back when copper went on that run up to 52.90. It has pulled back down to 42.50, so it's had about a 20% move down. But overall, the copper producers have not fallen out of bed because this is still a pretty respectable price if you're a producing company. Now, if the copper price was to go down into the threes, like you're saying, would you be concerned about the copper stocks and COPX, the producers?
No, I would not. That chart looks okay. I think COPX could move down toward 35, and I think you're fine. And I think we're still in a good position. You don't want it to move below 30. The real danger zone for copper is down around, for COPX is down around 25. I don't think it's going to happen. Although if you look recently at its move up on the monthly chart, huge volume. And so it's reversed here. So we may have a move down for a while. And then if volume quiets down, as long as you don't break through the lower Bollinger band on the monthly chart, you're probably going to be okay and you'll still be in that trading range. But in the move down, there's going to be a lot of stocks, I think, that will give you a good chance to purchase them at good prices that are copper-based.
Yeah, look at that volume spike. The volume really started to pick up in 2021 and really spiked this year. But hey, if you're looking at that lower monthly Bollinger band, man, that's way down in kind of the 30 region. So there's a long way to go to even threaten to break that level. Doc, as much as I think some of the majors have done better, even some of the mid-tiers have done better, there's still no life in the juniors, whether precious metals or base metals. What changes that?
The only what changes that is time and a higher price for gold. That's the only thing that's going to change that.
Well, we've heard that, and gold's been at a higher price for a while now.
Yep, and that's what tells me I think we have to go much higher in gold. I said a while back that this is the first time that I'll get all extreme in a prediction, because I said I think in this next move over time, we go the gold $5,000 to $10,000 an ounce. And we've been hearing that. We heard that 20 years ago, and these guys used to drive me nuts. Oh, we're going to $5,000 to $10,000, and you just shake your head. But this is a possibility going forward because of all the debt all over the world and all these countries in trouble with their debt. And the only way that they're going to solve it is through inflation. And so there's probably more to come. And I think the bond market is telling me that there's more inflation coming, in spite of people thinking that they're going to lower Fed's fund rates like crazy here. And so that tells me that, of course, people say, well, higher interest rates aren't good for gold, but so far it hasn't been a problem, has it? But when you raise interest rates, that just drives inflation even more, because your business people have to increase their prices to stay in business. And so it's going to be a very difficult next 5 to 10 years as far as for inflation and for our economies. And so I think gold has a lot further to run.
Well, Doc, you brought up interest rates there and Fed policy, and there are a lot of eyeballs watching to see when the rate cutting cycle starts. There's a lot of other central banks that have already started. But that we've heard for really the last 2 years that it's going to be a series of cuts, 7, 8 cuts, and that we're going to see 100, 150, 200 basis points in cuts. What they're really talking about is doing a 25 basis point hike once or twice. Does that really move the needle for anything, doing one or two cuts? Or do we need to see a series of cuts that would be something like 7, 8 cuts to really get things moving on interest rates and in the bond market?
Yeah, one or two 25 basis point cuts do nothing. That's nice that they're talking it. In fact, it was, I think, Citibank that talked about 8 cuts this year and into next year for the Fed fund rate. I'll tell you what, if that happens, right now the bond market is telling me that we're going to have a steepening of the yield curve, because long-term yields are not going to correspondingly move that significantly down with a Fed fund rate cut. So we've been inverted for months, but if they start cutting Fed fund rate on the short side, the long-term bonds, according to what I'm looking at, are not in any peril of moving down as far as significantly in the rates. In fact, I'll say that down the road, we're likely to have another leg down in the bond market from what I'm seeing right now, what I'm looking at, that the odds are greater in the future, intermediate future, not near term, but intermediate, that we see another leg down in this bond market. So what does that tell you? That tells you that there is incipient inflation out there that's going to rear its ugly head again.
Oh, man, I think everyone still has their eye on inflation, thinking that it hasn't fully gone away, especially just in our day-to-day lives. But we'll see just how many rate cuts the Fed gets off this year, let alone into next year. Everyone loves predicting more and more rate cuts, but fact of the matter is we still need the first one out of the U.S. This week we had the Bank of Canada with their second rate cut, but still it's a slow process back down. And Doc, if you are right, if the bond market goes through another sell-off, that really throws, I think, a lot of this market rally on its head because of the fact of how much I think that has been driven by that outlook for lower rates. Doc, it's great having you on the show. Thank you again for taking some time and sharing your insights on the precious metals, copper, and now even the bond market. Doc, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.